If you have your Bible with you, open up to Isaiah chapter 60. Open up to Joel chapter 2. I'm going to see how many fingers you have. Open up to Isaiah 60 first. Isaiah 60. How many believes that we're living in the last days? Amen. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. We want to be prepared. You know, he told Timothy to be prepared in season and out of season. And we want to be prepared for whatever God springs upon us, whether he says it's time to preach. And I can tell you why. Because there's going to be some certain circumstances that are going to happen in the earth that are going to cause people to run to the churches. I believe that with my whole heart. And as darkness falls, you know, our light is to shine. We're to be, you know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. We're the light of the world. He called us the salt of the earth. Salt, as you know, before they had all these fancy freezers and everything, salt was used, and it still is used as a preservative. Do you believe that? And you know, certain things, if you put it in your cupboard, if it didn't have salt in it, it would rot away very quickly. And in the same way, when we are, you know, he said, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's fit neither for the soil or the manure pile, it's thrown out. So we want to be salty salt. Because if we become unsalted and tainted by the world, then we're not worth anything in God's eyes, or we're not affecting the world as we should. So we want to be as salted as we can. You know, so the world uses that as a negative, being salty, but we want to be a light and a salt to preserve holiness and standards of righteousness, and set a standard of integrity in this world where integrity is far removed. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 60. Now, before we get into this, in context, he's talking about the second advent of Christ when Jesus comes back and sets his foot on the earth. This book was written towards Israel. We know that. You can read the first five verses. He says who the letter is written to. But I'm going to use this scripture as an example, because there's some words in there that are going to hit home with what the Lord put on my heart for us to talk about tonight. He says here, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. It's very similar to what is happening right now. We're a light in a very dark generation. He said that in Philippians chapter 2. He said to do everything without complaining or arguing, so you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold on to the word of life. You know, when Jesus himself, Paul gave his testimony in Acts 26, and you know, it doesn't say this when he knocked him off his horse, but Paul further revealed what Jesus had spoken, apostled him with. He said, I'm sending you to them to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. He says to the king, he says, so I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, King Agrippa, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and to all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preach you, they should repent and turn to God and prove the repentance by their deeds. That's Paul's message, summed up right there. Jesus told them, go turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. And Paul says, I did what he said. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. So with all these teachers out there today that don't know Jesus, I say they don't know Jesus because they don't know his word. You cannot know, fully comprehend Jesus without comprehending his word. You understand that Jesus is the word. That may be a little bit difficult for your carnal mind before it's renewed to understand Jesus is the Word. What are you talking about? You get the Bible, you pick it up, and it doesn't look like a man or a God to me. It's just like a bunch of words in any other book, right? You see, but these words, they will do nothing. Some people, religious people, they take the book and they sit it on their coffee table. It sits as if it's going to radiate some aura and change the atmosphere of the home. God's Word will do nothing with the book closed. Nothing at all. But when those words come off the pages, they are life. They will change lives. They will raise the dead. You know, a lot of people think raising the dead is so powerful. It is. Very powerful. But think of this. When you resurrect someone's spirit by preaching truth to them, and that truth penetrates their heart and they get born again, you did something more powerful than raising the dead. You raised a temporal body from raising the dead. You just raised an eternal spirit from going to hell when you raise someone's spirit resurrected unto life through faith in Christ Jesus. I like this. This is good. So we want to be a light. Amen? We want to follow the light. We want to be lights that shine. And there's ways we can do it, and I want to get into that. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself here. But Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Here he says that the Gentiles, and in fact, Jesus, right before Jesus' second advent, it's going to be not just spiritual darkness, it's going to be a literal darkness is going to come upon the whole earth. That's what he's talking about in context here. So that it's going to you know, make Jesus appearing even more glorious. You know, it says the glory of God is going to give us light through all eternity. Did you know that? It says the Lamb is its lamp. It says no longer will they need the light of the sun or the light of the moon or stars to shine on them. He says the glory of God will give us light. Amen. So we want to let God's glory shine through us. That's the Holy Spirit. And the way we become filled with all of God, you're going to be full. We're containers. Everyone say, I am a container. You're a container, and you're either going to be full of the world or full of God. Most people are full of the world. James said in James chapter 4, he said, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Now that'll hit you in the heart if you'll believe what it means, because it does. A lot of people, they think that's some kind of figuratism or something. Is that even a word? They think it's figurative. He means it. We got to be separate from the world. That's how we're going to. Otherwise, we're dimming our light. Amen? We're dimming our light. We want to be a light that exposes darkness. He talks about that in Ephesians 5. In fact, why don't you go over there? We'll just briefly read that so you can see it for yourself. We're not going to be very long teaching. He wants to move a different way, so I'm going to obey what he wants to do. He tells us in Ephesians 5 verse 1. Now, you have to understand, in Ephesians 4, he just told us to put off all lying and anger and stealing and things like that. He tells us to put off. Ephesians 6, he tells us what to clothe ourselves with for the armor of God. And Ephesians 5 is kind of sandwiched in there with more rules to holy living. He tells us to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. He says, but among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual morality or of impurity or of greed. He says, these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. That's basically 90% of your television programming. What people consider to be funny and entertainment is filth in the eyes of God. And the reason it makes people laugh and it seems like this is good is because we as humans have been tainted by sin. You see, there's got to be a transformation process to think the way God thinks. And of course, it's just going to seem funny to a sinful nature or to your flesh. And that's why most people think that this is it. This is what I need. I need to watch this. This is helping me feel good. Well, it's helping your flesh feel good. But it's not enforcing your transformation. In fact, it's making it more difficult for God to work in your life if you're a Christian. He says, there must not even be a hint, not even a hint of sexual morality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, but rather, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, I told you, of this you can be sure, tomorrow the sun's going to rise. You'd believe me, wouldn't you? Mm-hmm. You've never seen a day when it didn't happen. He says, of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Does that sound like heaven? Mm-hmm. You can be assured that he's telling you that anybody that lives an unholy life is not going to make it to heaven. He says in multiple places, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Now, how far is that from today's message today? It's very far from today's message. You see? He says this, let no one deceive you with empty words. Now, what are empty words? Most people's opinions are empty words. What most people claim about God's word are empty words. Because they have no scriptures to back up the foundation that they claim is of God. A lot of people say many words, big, swelled, puffed out words, and they say it with confidence from behind the pulpits and from behind the pew. They say many things that they believe to be true about God, but because they haven't taken the time to find out what He has to say about it, they're idle words, they're empty words. We want to be sure that we stick with the Word of God, amen? And listen to me, look up here. Every preacher says that they preach the full gospel of God. They all believe that they do. They misinterpret the word and say, well, what did he do? Don't you think that man that went up there, he prayed before he preached? All of them do. They all genuinely believe that they're teaching the truth, but they're not. How can that be? We all have the same Bible. We all have the same Holy Spirit. We all claim the same faith. Why is it that we're not preaching the same message? I can tell you what it is. If you're willing to hear it, it's because they don't, like Pastor Anthony said, have revelation knowledge. They have head knowledge. Not only that, but they don't do what God commanded, which is meditate His Word day and night. They meditate the words that agrees with what they're wanting to walk, but not all of the Word of God. Thank God I had a sister who prayed for me. And from the beginning, from the moment I started reading my Bible, everything in me said to read the New Testament over and over and over, and I read every word. Even the stuff that was boring to me at the time, that didn't make sense, it didn't matter, I kept reading the whole thing. I never picked and chose scriptures like everybody sitting in the pew with me was doing. I've watched many Christians go like this, where do you want me to be today? What do you want to say to me? And point their finger and go, oh my goodness, God just spoke to me. Yeah, He's going to speak to you. It's His Word. He's speaking His Word. But that's not how we're to read our Bibles. We're to read all of the counsel of God. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word. Every word. Not some of the words, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, Michelle is just telling me a story about a man who graduated from, what's the school, seminary they call him? Oh. Cemetery. That's what it is. Cemetery. It's a cemetery. Yeah. Most of them, I believe most of them are. But the man told Michelle how he graduated, and he was kind of thinking about starting out a web page where everybody gets together and talks about what they believe the scriptures mean. Is that correct? Well, let me ask you a question. Doesn't that not sound like 2 Timothy chapter 4, what Paul said, the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth, that's your Bible, and turn aside to myths, that's man-made doctrines. Let me ask you a question. If there's no person in authority, like God said, apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers in authority, to be in charge, to be carriers of His Word, to maturing of the saints, so we can all grow together into the head who's Christ. If there's no authority in a group of people talking together and everyone's stating what they think or what they personally opinion, what their opinion is or what the Bible believes, do you think you would leave smarter or worse off at the end of that meeting?
Worse off.
We went to one once. When Michelle and I went to a certain church, They invited us over. They were reading a book called Non-Christian. It was talking about all the things wrong with Christians, is what it was. And some of it was truth and some of it wasn't. But at the end of the meeting, everybody sat down. I believe I was the only person in the room that had any clue, because I had a strong foundation of the Word. This is after I graduated Bible college. This is after spending thousands upon thousands of countless hours of reading the Bible. I know what it said. And they all sat around stating what they believed about God's Word. All of them. And all of them had differing opinions. And I got so angry. I was so angry inside. I said, I will never go back, Michelle. I will never go back. I knew that if I opened up my mouth, maybe if I was as bold as I am now, I would have stood up on a chair and said, all of you are false teachers. You're all in great danger. Stop. Just stop and go read your Bible and find out what it says instead of stating your opinions, because that's what they all did. And that's what most people are doing today. They're false. They don't know the Word. Jesus said over and over to the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes, you know, were also typically the teachers of the law. They were the ones carrying and handling the Word, the holy Word of God. They were to know it. They did know it, memorized. They're the ones that wrote it down. But he told them, he said, look, are you not in error because you don't know the Scriptures or the power of God? You can't know the power of God without knowing the Scriptures, and you can't know the Scriptures until you've taken the time to meditate all of God's Word. Apparently, they knew some of the Word. They were scribes and teachers of the law, but they didn't know all of it because he said they didn't. Amen? Why is that? You know, what this whole purpose of this whole thing, our whole life, everything, is to come to a realization that we have to esteem God's Word higher than anything else that exists in the entire universe. The Bible says that God magnifies His Word above His own name. Do you realize, just think, that Adam and Eve, the reason they fell is because they did not put God's Word on the highest pedestal above everything that existed. They didn't do it. They didn't do it enough to the point where when Satan came and changed God's Word, they were willing to accept that as truth. It's the same thing in your personal life. I'm talking about you tonight. Everything that you do, every situation that you go through, every day of your life is another opportunity to make sure that God's Word, Jesus, is the Lord of your life. Jesus is the Word of God. You cannot call Him Lord, according to Jesus Himself, until His Word becomes first place in His life. John chapter 8 is your proof. He said, to the Jews that believed in Him, it said. They believed in Him. They believed that they were believing that Jesus was the Messiah. It says, to the Jews that believed in Him, He said these words, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now the reason He said that, and we've taught on this, it's online, He taught on it for quite a while. In fact, we just got stuck on it. It says they believed on Him. But Jesus, just like a good preacher, could sense that something's not right with these claiming believers. I just sense that they're not all in it. They're claiming with their lips that I'm their Lord, but they're not surrendered fully to obeying My commandments. And Jesus sensed it and He says, look, you're not free. You have to abide in My Word to be set free. They said, we're not bound. We're free. We're children of Abraham, Jesus. What do you mean we're not free? He said, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. You see, you got to turn from sin to be a true Christian. He says, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And Jesus Himself, the Messiah, the living, breathing Word of God, is telling Him these words. He said, look, we're not bound. He says, you're bound. You're not free. How can you say that we'll be set free? Abraham's our father. He said, if Abraham's your father, you believe what I say. He said, why can't you hear My Word? He said, you can't understand what I say. It's like I'm speaking a different language to you. I'm paraphrasing it to help you to understand. He says, look, you're of your father, the devil. So even though it says they believed on Jesus, He's telling them they're of the devil. How can that be? It says the Jews that believed on him. Jesus telling them, you're of the devil, you're not free. And they're saying, we're free. And then they finally turned it around and said, are we not right in saying you're a Samaritan and you're demon-possessed? In other words, don't tell us we got to get rid of our sin. We believe in you. You told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, Jesus, that all we have to do is believe. You said this, for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall be saved. He shall be saved. Just got to believe. We believe in you, Jesus. And Jesus says, nope, there's more. There's more. You have to obey my word, or you're still bound by sin. So Jesus could pick up that they were mentally assenting to salvation, like so many today are mentally assenting to salvation. They actually believe that what they seem to be insignificant is sin, that they habitually practice on a day-to-day basis, is going to be overlooked by God, as if God can't see that. It's not okay. God looks upon the heart, doesn't he? We have to get the sin out of our lives, all of it. You know, they teach in college professors, they teach the masturbation is a good thing to do. Can't you see that's a selfish act? It's coming from the flesh. A lot of people do those things. A lot of people are addicted to pornography on top of it. It's not okay to do those things. It's a selfish act. I can't control myself. He says we're supposed to be self-controlled. He said each one should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lusts like the heathen who do not know God. And that in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. God will punish men for all such sins, as we've already told you and warned you, he says. So these different things like that, and you know, Christians getting drunk or gambling and stuff like that. How can you? They deceive themselves into thinking these things are okay. How does that represent Jesus? If Jesus walked in, how are you going to explain it? Is Jesus sitting next to you as you gamble? I do it for fun. Do you do it for fun? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:5 that the heart is deceitful above all things. Your heart will lead you in there through your greed that you can't even detect because your spiritual perception is blinded because you refuse to separate from the world. You can't even see it. Just think, if they seen it, don't you think they'd stop if they could see it? They would stop. They can't see it because no one is exposing the darkness. But if we as believers will rise up and be holy and separate from the world and refuse to touch the unclean, if we'll just refuse to do that, you're going to carry that spirit around with you because you're no longer going to be full of the world. You're going to be full of God. Amen? You carry the spirit around. Whatever you do in your personal life, you carry that spirit around with you. And if someone's close enough to God, they can sense, they can pick up when something's not right. If they're walking where you walk, they probably just join in with you. Amen? We want to be separate from the world. We want to set a standard of excellence and holiness and of integrity in this dark generation. And the world will notice. And the reason some people won't come into the churches because they say things like they're hypocrites, they're greedy, the preachers are all greedy. Sometimes you people saying that are just people, you know, ask them. If they say the preacher's greedy, say, well, let me ask you a question. Do you go to church? And they say they don't. Or they say, yeah, I go to church. I used to go to church, but I stopped. Say, when you went, did you give your tithes and offerings? Say, I didn't give that because the preacher's greedy. Say, no. The reason you didn't give your tithes and offerings is because you're probably the greedy one. And because you won't let go of your darkness, you're trying to mirror it back to the person who's trying to help you out of your greed and blame it on him, just like Cain and Abel. He got angry because his brother's actions were righteous and his own were evil. Amen? That's what people do. A lot of people, when they're condemning something for some specific thing, they've always got to do it. It's really they're pointing at themselves because that's who they are. Hallelujah, Jesus. He says this, let no one deceive you with empty words. That can be opinions, belief systems, personal beliefs. that are not based upon Scripture. He said this in 1 Corinthians 4, 5. He said, in order that you may learn the meaning of that which is written, do not go beyond that which is written. Did I say that right? Do not go beyond that which is written, it says. You can learn from us the meaning of the saying, don't go beyond what is written. In other words, don't go beyond the Scriptures. They mean what they say. We don't have to put any fanciful interpretations on the Scriptures. They mean what they say. We say some of this is parables. No, listen to me. The parables are very clear. The Bible is not a book full of parables. There are parables in it, allegories, synonyms, synecdoches. All different forms of human expression are found in your Bible. The Bible is to be taken, this is your basics of Bible interpretation. Your Bible is to be taken literally wherever it is possible, and that's in most cases. It can be most of your Bible, you realize, is just history, things that have already happened, or it's history in the form of prophecy spoken before it happened. How hard is it to believe in history? It's already happened or it's going to happen. We say, how do you know it's going to happen? Because God's never failed. His word's never failed. That's what you believe. That's what I believe. All the prophecies, is there any other book full of predictions that all these predictions, 333 predictions about Jesus and his crucifixion happen exactly like they said? Even the Jews believe that Jesus is a man. They just don't believe he was a Messiah. They'll even tell you, some will even say, yeah, we crucified him, all right. He was crucified. But they will not believe he was a Messiah. They think he was just some maniac. That's what they're claiming of him. He says this, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient, therefore do not be partners with them. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So he even tells you, look, you're a tree producing fruit. These are the types of fruits that should be growing. In other words, it should be evident because if a tree is producing fruit, you can see the fruit on the tree, correct? When you walk up to the tree, you can recognize that there's a difference between an apple tree and an orange tree or pear tree. You know, when I used to live down in South Texas, they got lime trees everywhere. I thought I walked into a tropical paradise because they had these lime trees, and just some imagination in my head, maybe. And they let those limes, I mean, they got, you go to the grocery store, you spend, what, 50 cents on a lime or something like that. They got hundreds of limes. If they got a lime tree sitting in their backyard, they're laying around. They throw them things away. There's so many of them, they don't know what to do with them. And you're thinking, man, you could start a business. They're like, these trees are everywhere, they tell you. It's producing fruit. A lot of fruit. So much fruit that they throw it away. Amen. But we want to produce a fruit of righteousness that's eternal. He says here, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. That's your fruit. Goodness, righteousness, that's absolute purity, truth, 100% integrity. He says, and find out what pleases the Lord. No. He says here, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Have nothing to do with it. Now, your television, your magazines at the end of the grocery aisle, the gossip magazines, Cosmopolitan, all that stuff, it's a bunch of filth. Why would you want to study and be knowledgeable about how the world acts with your Cosmopolitan magazine? Is that what it's called? People magazine, whatever. Inquirer, I think it's called. It's got full of gossip and lies. Why would you want to program your spirit full of lies? You'll be unable to discern truth. We want to only fill ourselves with truth. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, do not be misled. He said, bad company corrupts good character. You hang around negative people that are always talking negative, you're going to become a negative person. You're going to become that way. You want to hang around people with like faith. He says here, have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. How are we going to expose them? I can tell you how, by producing the fruit of righteousness, goodness, and truth. It's going to expose their darkness. He says, gross darkness comes upon the people. We, as the darkness falls, there's two kingdoms, there's two people, two natures being developed. The sinful nature, which is, it's been passed down from Adamic flesh. It's been passed down from generation to generation. Everybody's born with the Adamic nature, which is the nature of sin. It's a satanic nature. That's what it is. We're all born with a satanic nature. A lot of people don't want to think of it like that, but Jesus said, you're the father of the devil. He said, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Ephesians chapter 2. He says it over and over. He makes it very clear that we needed a new nature. It was natural for you to sin when you had the nature of the devil in you. If someone rejects Christ, they are developing that sinful nature. Let me give you an example. You've got your beer can in the back of the pickup truck, four-wheel drive sinner who supports his family. He works hard. All he does really is sinful, smoke cigarettes and maybe curse a little bit. But he's all around. He'll still do good deeds. He still helps people. But he's still spiritually dead. He's on the way to hell. He doesn't do much wrong, you know. He can go play out in the field, mud bogging with his truck and stuff like that. But he's not running around killing or murdering and stuff like that. You look at him and you see him do some good deeds. If there's someone broke down on the side of the road, he's got their hood up fixing it for him. It's your average sinner. He's not doing a whole lot wrong. But there's no way he can enter heaven until he returns from all of his sin and gives his heart to Jesus. Then you have your Adolf Hitler or your Stalin, who's developed that sinful nature to such a level that they will kill millions of people because they think that they're right. What is that? It's all who you're trained by or how much you yield to Satan as he develops that nature in you. That's one side of the coin. That's the darkness that's being developed out there in the world to the point where they put shows called Lucifer on television. Amen. And they think that there's nothing wrong with it because they become so spiritually blinded from developing that sinful nature that they can't see even if you smack them upside in the face with it. They can't see it. Their sin has blinded them. On the other side of the spectrum, there's a Christian, a believer, who's found out they've tried everything in the world. They've found out that there's nothing that satisfies them in this world. They've gotten born again. They've tried to be halfway in it with God and backslid multiple times. And they just said, it's either light or darkness with me. There's no way that I can be halfway in this. They give their whole life to Jesus. They close the door. They get rid of their television. They get rid of all the filth. They throw it all in the garbage, all the music. And they say, here I am. What do you want with me, Jesus? I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I will honor you with my body, spirit, and soul. I belong to you eternally, forever. Here I am. And they spend all of their time developing their divine nature, the born-again spirit. They spend all of their time developing that nature until they become just like Jesus instead of just like the Hitlers and the devils. It's two things. And that's what you're seeing. You know, I prophesied it not long back that there's coming a separation in the claiming body of Christ. Between light and darkness, the sheep and the goats, there will be a separation. So there will be more and more distinct and more noticeable. We'll be able to tell the difference between light and darkness. There's going to be a whole lot less middle ground in these last days. And a lot of people who are on the fence of hell and they believe that they're saved are either going to do one or two things. They're going to slide down the creek bank rank and become true Christians, or they're going to fall all the way into the world and be on the side of hell and not even know it and become more and more spiritually blind. Amen. So we want to be on the correct side. Somebody bind the enemy in Jesus' name. Somebody's been having problems with headaches. Who is it? Anybody else? Father, in the name of Jesus, we command the symptoms to leave her right now. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command it to go. Every symptom of distress and deficiency, I command it to leave her. Nothing can hide, nothing can say. We command the headaches to be gone. Right now, in the name of Jesus, every symptom of distress and deficiency has to leave her body. There it is. Somebody else raised their hand for headaches. Anybody else? Father, in the name of Jesus, we break all the hold of the enemy. You command the headaches to be gone right now. Symptoms of distress and deficiency to leave her body. We command everything to line up according to God's word right now. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We praise you and exalt you, Jesus. Somebody, listen carefully. Look up here. Somebody has been having symptoms. It's either in your wrist or your hands. It's slight, but it's been there. Anybody else? It could be something the devil, I think, has told you. I feel this inside. They already told you that you have arthritis or something like that. Anybody that's heard those words? Father, in the name of Jesus, we command every evil spirit to leave her. We command everything to line up according to God's word. He says that God says it's not even arthritis. He says it's carpal tunnel. We command it to leave in Jesus' name. See, the devil can't even get his diseases right. We command everything to line up according to God's word. Carpal tunnel to leave her. Every symptom of distress and deficiency. I know that's for you. I don't know if this is for her. Father, in the name of Jesus, command every symptom of distress and deficiency to leave her. That she's been feeling and that she raised her hand for. We command everything to line up according to God's word. Just receive it. Just believe it right now. Say, I'm healed. I am healed. Thank you, Lord. I receive it right now by faith. In Jesus' name. Did you have, Father, in the name of Jesus, command the symptoms to leave her. Every symptom of distress and deficiency to leave her. Any aches and pains. We command everything to let any evil spirits causing it to leave these people. Command everything to be normal right now. There it is. Just receive it right now by faith. Say, I'm healed. I thank you, Jesus, by your stripes. I'm healed and set free. Anybody else that's been having symptoms? There's another one. I'm trying to keep up with him here. He's showing me all these things. Father, in the name of Jesus, command every evil spirit to leave him in Jesus' name. Any symptoms of distress and deficiency that he raised his hand for, we command to leave the body right now and not return. Every spirit is gone. In Jesus' name, we command everything to be normal. Father, in the name of Jesus, command the symptoms to leave her. Command every ache and pain. We command everything to be normal right now. In the name of Jesus, we praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We thank you. You're working in her right now. In the name of Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Somebody, listen, everybody. Somebody's foot has been bothering you. Somebody's foot. Anybody else's foot. See, look at this. Father, in the name of Jesus. See, God wants to let you know. You know, I thought about this the other day. When he sends a word of knowledge, that thing comes all the way from the planet called heaven. It's so far away they can't even find it. And all the galaxies, they can't see that planet. And he comes down and sends it to me, and then I'm supposed to figure out. He's pretty accurate. And when he sends it down to this room, it hits me, and then I just say, which one is it? Think about that. God is amazing. You ready to receive? Father, in the name of Jesus, I command it to be normal right now. In Jesus' name, her foot healed, symptoms be gone. Father, we command the symptoms to leave her foot right now. We command everything to line up according to God's word and be healed. Right now, in Jesus' name. Somebody's lower back has been bothering them. Your foot, who? Father, in the name of Jesus, we command everything to line up according to God's word. Command everything to line up according to God's word right now, in Jesus' name. We got feet and lower backs now. We command everything to line up according to God's word right now, in the name of Jesus. Every symptom, distress, and deficiency to leave her. In Jesus' name, we break all the hold of the enemy. Everything has to line up according to God's word. Let me sneak past you, brother. We command every symptom to leave her right now. We command her body to be completely healed. Is it your back? Your feet? Is your back? Mm-hmm. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command everything to line up according to God's word. We command her feet to be normal right now. Every symptom that's been bothering her, we command any swelling to be gone. We command everything to line up according to God's word in the name of Jesus. You need help? Your feet's bothering you? Did you kick something? Come here. Come stand right here. Can you stand here? Can you stand right here? Let me reach you. Father, in the name of Jesus, command those symptoms to leave her feet. Command everything to line up according to God's word. In the name of Jesus. Is Laquisha? Father, in the name of Jesus, we command all forms of depression to leave her. Any evil spirits coming up against her back and her feet, we command to be gone right now. We break all the power of the enemy. We command everything to line up according to God's word. We command the spirit of depression up and out of her body and out of her life. We command every evil spirit to leave her. Any tormenting spirits, mind-binding spirits, emotional problems, we command it to leave right now. Chemical imbalance to be gone. We command a chemistry to be normal right now. Everything has to line up according to God's word. Nothing can hide, nothing can see. Lord, I just pray you'd work a miracle in her mind, her emotions right now. And I just thank you that you hear me. You do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. We command everything to be normal right now in Jesus' name. Do you have headaches?
Not lately.
But do you have them sometimes?
Sometimes.
You shouldn't have them ever. You know that? I don't have headaches. Father, in the name of Jesus, it's not normal like everybody thinks it is. Father, we command that to leave her also in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're back? Father, in the name of Jesus, command those symptoms to leave her back. You command her back to be healed right now. In the name of Jesus, we just praise you and exalt you that her back is healed. We claim her deliverance right now in Jesus' name. We command her back to be healed. Somebody's, I'm going to call it a thumb has been bothering. Is that you? Father, we command the symptoms to leave her right now in Jesus' name. We break all the power of the enemy. Right now, we command everything to be normal in Jesus' name. I'm not going to touch you for this one, Father. We just break the power of Satan off her thumb. We command it to be normal right now. We command every evil spirit that's been causing the pain to be gone, any symptoms of arthritis, we command it to be gone right now in Jesus' name. Somebody's got a problem with one of your nails has been bothering you. You? Father, in the name of Jesus, we command the symptoms to leave his finger. We command his nail and everything to be normal. And we claim he's not going to lose his nail. Everything's healed right now in Jesus' name. I'm just bouncing around. You smash your finger in the door. We command her nail, everything to line up according to God's word right now in Jesus' name and be healed. We praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you and bless you, Jesus. There it is. Go on over to John chapter 1. We bind every counterattack, plan, maneuver, and assign the enemy and command them off the air dry places in Jesus' name. Look at what he says here in John chapter 1, verse 5. We'll start in verse 4. In fact, we're going to start in verse 1. Why don't we just go back to Genesis 1:1? Okay? He says here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's Jesus. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. There's no more question where we came from. Jesus. Jesus made us. Everything has been made through Him. How do you know? I know it by faith. Amen. He says here, without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life is the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome or understood it, fully comprehended, discerned. Now, we know that Jesus also said in John 8:12 that I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He told us in Matthew chapter 5 and other places that we are the light of the world. He says, I'm the light of the world. You're the light of the world. In Him was life, that life is the light of men. Going over to John chapter 12, verse 36 now. Says this. We'll start in verse 35. When Jesus told them, you're going to have the light a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in light while you have it so that you may become sons of light. So there's a difference between light and darkness. We're to be sons of light. He keeps making mention of very similar things over and over in Scripture.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Rota makara kasitika lota mapara kara kasitika. This is a revelation. I'm going to give it kind of like a teaching. We'll see how this goes. A lot of people, listen, some people are embarrassed. Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me before men, I'll also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before men, I'll disown him before my Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32. Some people are embarrassed to surrender their whole lives to Jesus, or they try to do it in secret and it doesn't work. They're embarrassed because they're afraid of rejection of their peers. Let me tell you something. Anybody who rejects you because you've chosen Jesus is never a friend at all. Amen. In order to truly be saved, we need to stand up and make a bold statement that I am of Jesus. He's my Lord. Amen. And don't be afraid of what other people think of you. You don't need their approval. The only person's approval that you need is God. Amen. God is a person. It says express representation of his person, the scripture says. He's a person. The only person that you should care what he thinks is God. You're never alone. No matter how separate from the world you become, and you find out that there's nobody left in my life. Nobody left. It doesn't make any difference. You know, it's through the way we turn that light, that flicker of light that's in our spirit the moment we get born again, the way we make it become brighter and brighter is through praying in tongues and meditating his word constantly. That's how the transformation takes place. There's no better favor you could do yourself and everyone around you than to take time where you, you know, he said, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Most people, minds are constantly going. They never take, Jesus isn't important enough to them for them to stop everything they're doing and take sacrifice of their time to pray. Where they're not doing anything else, but they're 100% focused on God. That's when you bow your head and bow your knees and lean over your bed and close the door like Jesus said. Get in your prayer closet and pray. That's where the biggest transformation is taking place because there's no distractions. It's just you and Jesus. It's just you and God alone. A lot of people think that playing on Facebook while they pray is considered prayer time. No, it's not. You may be praying, but you're not focused on prayer. You're focused on Facebook or something similar. So come and dwell in the place where light is, in my presence, says the Lord. Let my glory shine upon you, that you may shine and radiate my light as you go forth into the darkness to set the captives free. For there's many bound in chains. And as you spend time alone in my presence, as you spend time alone with me, I will equip you so you can go forth and break the shackles. I will equip you so you can go forth with my anointing to break that yoke of bondage on those who are bound by things that are not of me. So press in with your whole hearts and seek me as if you're trying to find me, because those who seek will find, and they will transform to become more like me. He said, my light always abides, so just continually dwell in my light. For there's many who step foot into the light and become weak as it exposes those character flaws that they're not willing to let go of, that they're not willing to be free. But I've told you to come into the light. That's all of you. Nothing reserved for self, but total surrender to my kingdom. Total surrender to me.